From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Wherever you are, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. One of the important questions you asked Peter when you rose from the dead and you were just about to leave him and his brothers, his brethren, you asked him whether he loves you. And when you responded yes, you told him that he should feed your sheep. Thank you for this gathering, I pray, that will be fed this evening from the comfort of our homes. Lord, you give us a word in season, and that our spirits will be revived, and that we can face the challenges that are ahead of us. Thank you for your love and your kindness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Yeah, Queenie, you feel good? Wonderful, I feel good as well. All right, so I want us to look at the seven great principles. I see Tawana is on seven great principles, okay? Remember, we were looking at that in a way until this whole coronavirus thing came around. So just to refresh your mind, your memory, isn't it? We all know the principles. The first principle is man is a spirit, has a soul, and he lives in a body. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. It's very important. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen. Now, listen, I see you. It's very important to always remember that you are not just a body. You are not just a soul. You just only don't have feelings. But also you have a spirit. The realness about you is about your spirit. And so let our minds not go so much to our flesh. The flesh, I think I made some statements a while ago, that the flesh, you see, we were born, the flesh is very old, the soul is very old, and it's not very easy for somebody who is old to give in for a younger person to take control. So once the body is old, the soul is old, and then the spirit is young, there's a struggle between older person and then a younger person of who should actually dictate or take control of affairs. And so you realize that in this season and in this period, we might easily think more about the physical needs. We might easily think about the things that we need as people, money, a job, paying bills. That can easily take most of our thinking. Forgetting that is not the real us, you see, and if that is not the real us, then we have to activate the real us, which is the spirit. And so don't forget that man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. The second principle says that the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked, you know. So you have to remember that all the things that are going on in our country, a lot of unsaved people are involved. There's a lot of accusations, a lot of lies, a lot of unverified information, a lot of things that are not true are being said. Don't believe all the things, even including the coronavirus, the data and the statistics they are giving us. You should not believe everything. If you believe everything the newspaper writes, if you believe everything that this ministry of health they produce, if you believe everything, you will not be understanding this principle, because you can't have people who are not saved giving you information that is accurate, and that will help your Christianity, and that will help my Christianity. You get it? So you have to understand that the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The third principle with the spirit of a saved man is righteous and is truly holy. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. I mean, the summary of this is that no matter who you are, when you get saved, your spirit is renewed. You know when things are not well. You can do something wrong. And then, you know, nobody will tell you, but in your quiet moment, you see that your conscience and all the things that you've done, all the things that are within you, because of the spirit that is righteous and truly holy, you know it. It's just that sometimes you don't have the strength to overcome or overpower some of the situations. But right inside of you, you know that some things are not the way they are supposed to be. So the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Now, the fourth principle is where I want to probably spend some little time on as we proceed. After you are born again, your spirit is a newborn baby. Your spirit is a newborn baby, and it must grow. After you're born again, your spirit is a newborn baby, and it must grow. So I just want to basically deal with developing, how to develop your spirit, how to develop the you, how to develop your inner man, your inner self. It is very important. It is very important. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to be very, very, very careful about this. What is going on now is more earthly. What is going on now is more physical. I mean, it's difficult not to be affected by what is going on. But the truth of the matter is that the more you are affected, the more you are in the flesh. The more what is going on affects you and controls you, the more you are in the flesh. I was talking to somebody in the American church. And then God, you know, I was talking to someone in an American church, and the person was saying that Apostle Joel was telling them, you know, they shouldn't really watch too much of the news. That too much of the news is not so good. It's good to be informed that not all of the things we hear are very good for our spirit man. Most of the things you hear, it's supposed to break you down. It's supposed to discourage you. It is supposed to make you not even get the energy and the strength to serve God and do well. You understand? So there's a lot of things that are going on currently. Your natural self will absorb it more if your spirit is not that strong. Proverbs chapter 14, 18 and verse 14. There's a scripture that says that. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Bible says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So the spirit must be developed. The spirit must be developed. If in this season you don't set up a balanced system to also build your spirit, you will realize that you'll be swept away. By the time the coronavirus is gone, you become so earthly. You become so fleshy. You become so caught up with money, food, job, and all of that. You should not be afraid of your job. One young lady was talking to me today about their job. They were asking, they were saying that, you know, there are a few things going on. They're going to lay people off and all kinds of things. I told the person, you should not even think about you being laid off. You should not think about it. If you think about it, then what happens? Then the next thing is that, okay, so what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my bills? What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my home? And then it becomes like a roller coaster. And it takes your mind off the real deal, which is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You see, when Peter was asked to come to Jesus on the water, Peter got out of the boat and then he was walking. The moment he started sinking was the moment he took his eyes off Jesus. You see, so it's very, very, very critical. It's very, very, very important that you keep your spirit man developing. This is a season to develop your inner man. And so the spirit of a man, Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but the wounded spirit, who can bear a wounded spirit? When your spirit is wounded, it means your spirit is weak, your spirit is bruised, your spirit has a casualty, who can handle a spirit that is broken down? That's why when you are sad, it's difficult to, you know, progress. When you are depressed, it's not very easy to pray. When somebody is troubling you, when your husband is giving you problems, your wife is giving you problems, it's difficult to really look up to God. It is that part of you. Your spirit is being affected. And so it is very, very important to, in this time and in this season, to develop your spirit. Now, the first way, the first medium to develop your spirit is by the Word of God. The first key to developing your human spirit is the Word of God. You see, the Bible says that there's nothing that was made without the Word of God. You get it? And so, the Word of God is what will feed your spirit. Jesus said that a man shall not live by bread alone. You remember Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil? He was hungry. And sometimes you will be hungry. If you don't get hungry, it means you are not a Christian. You must be hungry. Some hungry times will come. But those are the moments that your mind should not just be on bread. Because the devil wanted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. But Jesus did not give in to the desires of the flesh. Why? Because at that particular moment, he was fasting. And that's what fasting does. We may probably come to that, if not this session, next session. But the Word of God, Jesus said, is the bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says that, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It is the Word of God is like milk. It's like milk. If you give birth to a baby, if you are a toddler, if you are a child, you are an adolescent, if you are a young lady, a young man, you know, a woman, matured woman, whatever state or stage you are, you need food. We can't stop eating. I mean, we can't stop eating. I'm sure some of you have already eaten and relaxing. You know, I ate something earlier. I'm going to eat again before I sleep. Isn't it? I mean, food comes natural to the body. In that same way, spiritual food should also come natural to your spirit. You get it? So you desire the sincere milk of the word with nutrients. With nutrients. The word of God has so many things. Are you discouraged? There's a vitamin in the word of God for you. Are you depressed? There is a mineral in the word of God for you. Are you not happy? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Whatever situation, whatever condition, there is a vitamin, there's a mineral, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin B. All these things are in the food of the word. Just as the natural food feeds us, it's very key that the spiritual food also feeds us. So in trying to do the word of trying to feed yourself with the word of God, one of the things we want to do is quiet time. My time. I asked the media people to upload some old messages of mine on microscopic Bible study and topical Bible study. So it will be available on podcast, I think, by midnight. But quiet time. It may sound simple. You will have heard of it again. You'll have heard of it before. Maybe you heard of it last year, the year before, and so on. But that is the emphasis. Read your Bible and pray every day. So quiet time. I mean, how many of you do your quiet time? I'm reading the book of Exodus, and I'm amazed how God, you know, Moses believed God beyond his fears of going back to Egypt to be arrested and all what was ahead of him in Egypt. God, you know, kind of transformed Moses in the desert. He made his rod turn into a serpent. And then when he held the serpent by the tail, you know, it turned back into a rod. God really, showed himself strong and powerful to Moses for him to be able to take the challenge and the mission of going to release his people from Egypt to Canaan. And therefore, quiet time is very powerful. Quiet time is very, very powerful. So you do your quiet time. Now, there are many of us, it's quiet time is quiet time. Some of you do quiet time, you probably don't really get anything much. You can read your Bible, but you don't probably get a lot from it. You have to get to the point where you read your Bible and you are able to even remember what you read 2-3 days later. You know, there's something I read in the Bible the other day when I was doing my quiet time. When the Bible says God turned the rod of Moses into the snake and then it came back into the rod. The Bible says that Moses left, Exodus chapter 3, Moses left his father-in-law Jethro. He left Midian to go to Egypt. And the Bible says that he took with him the rod of God. The rod of God. Now, that rod of God really stirred up my mind. And so my quiet time led me to Bible study. Are you there? So quiet time is just the systematic reading of a book in the Bible. You take a book, you read a chapter, a verse, a few verses together every day, not only in the morning, the afternoons, in the evenings. I'm giving you food. I'm giving you secrets to developing your spirit. If you don't develop your spirit, you know, you'll be in your home, quarantine, whatever quara it is. Your spirit can be broken. You know, so whilst we wait for the right moment to come together again, you have to eat. You have to develop yourselves and grow some spiritual fat. You understand? And so when I read that part of the Bible where the Bible said Moses took with him the rod of God, then I said, wow, I never saw of God. It brought my mind to the word man of God. If Moses had a rod of God, then the man of God is also something that, you know, God is also in the scriptures. So I did a whole Bible study on of God. I went to the Bible. I tried to, it wasn't simple. I had about 1,650 places in the scriptures where I can find of God. Some of them were not relevant, some were relevant. And so I you remember the Bible says that God created us in the image of God. Image of God. Even the word of, I went to the dictionary to find out what the meaning of is. And the meaning of is a source, right? Origin, source, derivative. So when you say the rod of God, it is a rod that came from God. You get it? It came from God and was handed to Moses. In other words, that stick that Moses was walking around with every day with his sheep, God now touched it and it turned into a rod that could do things from the presence of God. And so when you look at a man of God, that a man of God is just a man, but like the rod of Moses, he has been filled, he has been touched, he has been affected, and therefore he now is able to do things that are of God. So whatever the rod of Moses was able to do, turn into a serpent, you know, swallowing all the serpents, he stretched it to the sea and it parted into two. A man of God, are you with me? A man of God should also be able to do things that are supernatural. That are supernatural. Do you have the image of God? And do you have the voice of God? Do you have the likeness of God? Do you have the sons of God? Do you have Abraham of the Most High God? You have priest of the Most High God. They have the angel of God. And they have the house of God. In Genesis 28, Jacob, where he dreamt and he saw the ladder. You remember that story, Genesis 28, when he said, the Lord was here and I didn't know. He called the place Bethel, house of God. So my quiet time of Moses carrying the rod of God with him took me further to Bible study. And that's what you call food. That's what you call spiritual food. Are you with me? That's what you call spiritual food. And so with your quiet time, your verses, your chapter, your book, don't bust the Bible, please. If you still bust the Bible, Charlie, you need deliverance. Father, deliver anybody who still busts the Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. No busting of the Bible in 2020. All right? And so your quiet time leads you to Bible study. I am sharing with you on how to develop your spirit. It's very important to develop your spirit in this season. So now from quiet time, you go to Bible study. And then, like what I showed you about, of God, you do study of the Bible. You go here, you take topics, you take character study, do all kinds of things. So you have Bible, you have your quiet time, you have your Bible study, and then you have Bible reading. Quiet time, Bible study, and then Bible reading. So if you are not doing Bible reading, Bible reading is when, you know, you read. I mean, you take Genesis and you're just, you know, you're just interested in the creation story. And you just read the creation story. You want to read about Adam and Eve. You want to read about David and Goliath. You want to read about Noah and the Ark. You know, you do things like that. You read stories just to, you know, upgrade your Sunday school knowledge and information, isn't it? You get it. So, quiet time, Bible study, Bible reading. Are we going to do that in this season? Quiet time, Bible study, Bible reading. Let me share with you something that I do. Maybe some of you may be able to pick it up. As we are home, after the curfew, I mean 6 o'clock, I'm home. One of the things I do is that I try to sleep early. I sleep around 8, 9, sometimes even 7 o'clock. I wake up around 10 or 11. Then from 11, I come into my study and then I turn on the light. And I'm here from 11 p.m. up to the morning. When I say 5 o'clock prayer and then we are praying, I have been awake since the night before. I mean, during the day, you don't go out much, isn't it? I'll still be here doing what I do normally. So, you know, I can rest a little bit during the day. So, if you don't really go out much, you can adapt this. Sleep early, wake up midnight, do some Bible reading. Bible read, please. Many of us, you don't get the time to sit down and read. You get it? You don't get the time to sit down and read. I was doing some research this afternoon, and I came across an author. And the what I was reading mentioned a book by the author called Spiritual Warfare and Church Growth. I just bought it from Amazon. You get it? Spiritual Warfare and Church Growth. I believe it's a very nice book, and I want to read it. You know, I read Bishop's books, and I'm reading other books also as also source of other information to hear what others are also saying. So quiet time, Bible study, Bible reading. Quiet time. So the first step in developing your spirit is to feed your spirit with the Word of God. And how do you do it? Quiet time, Bible study, and Bible reading. Okay? So make sure that you do that. It's very, very important to your spirit. When you read the scriptures, like I was sharing with you, I know I saw some of the comments. You can see that. I mean, the thing is loaded. There's even a mountain of God. Can you believe it? There's a mountain of God. I mean, if you go to that mountain, I'm sure you will meet God. Would you not be excited to go to a place where they say, this is a garden of God? Would it not be beautiful? Indeed. So, when you learn these things, it brings faith, it generates faith. And with faith, you can move mountains. Faith can move mountains. And you are going to move mountains by your Bible reading and developing faith in Jesus' name. Somebody type amen. Wonderful. The second The second step to developing your spirit is to listen to messages. Listen to messages. The second step to developing your spirit is to listen to messages. My little experience is that, you know, we have great messages in our church. Great messages. I mean, Bishop's message, you saw the launch the other day. Those of you who have seen it, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. It has even taught me to also go back to my old messages and see what I can make out of it. My collection, you know, a Guyanese version of what the prophet is doing worldwide. At least I can. The messages that have brought us this far, you know, we started preaching in 2005 and God has brought us up. Many of you are products of my preaching over the years. You know, so we want to bring back some of those messages. Aina is a great example of somebody who has been around faithfully, the preaching and the messages I've been preaching. So some people like, you know, Ashanti Anthony from Sophia, you know, people like that, they need to hear some of the messages from 2010, 2008, 2007, you know, that those kind of messages, it will help them. Do you get it? So there's so many messages we have. But I also encourage you to listen to messages from other preachers as well. You know, Bishop Oyedepo is one of the references. Ben Hinn is also one of the people you can listen to. Just be careful when you're going out. Rick Joyner is also very good. You know, but just be careful when you're going out. Maybe you want to check it with me or something like that, so that you don't go off. Because it's not everybody, not all men have faith, isn't it? It's not all men who have faith. So the second step to developing your spirit is by listening to messages. And when you come to Bishop's messages, you have evangelistic messages. For those who are interested in dawn broadcast, lately some ladies have started preaching early in the morning in some areas. You need some evangelistic messages. It will help you. If you need pastoral, church work, church growth messages, you can also have that as well. If you need messages on the anointing, church building, anointing, you know, shepherding, leadership, warfare, all these are there. It's free. It's now free to download them. So make sure you get them and listen to them. You don't have to. You see, one of the traditional ways of listening to messages was that you sit down, like how I've sat down and I'm talking to you. You sit down and you listen to it. You don't have to sit down and listen to it, really. You can just be playing it whilst you're cooking. And Sister Shelley, you can, as you're baking, you know, getting ready to go out and sell, you can be playing the messages as well. These days, we have Bluetooth. We have these little speakers. You can get some wherever you are. Put it right there. Let your phone play a message. It builds your faith. Your faith. Bible says that the just shall live by their faith. The just shall live by their faith. And therefore, your faith also is generated or activated or stirred up by the listening to messages. Like as I'm preaching like this, it helps. It helps. It stirs you up. It you know, it pushes you. It motivates you. It activates you. It causes you to rise. And so listen to messages. Some of the camp messages, very, very, very important camp messages. Listen to them, you know, several of them. I was running through YouTube recently. I saw Faith and the Mega Church at the camp that Bishop had in Zambia, you know, in southeastern Africa. It's very, very powerful. I was listening to it, you know, a small group of people. It's very, very beautiful. You know, so listen to messages. So the feeding of the spirit is not just eating greens. You have to mix greens up with something. You can't just eat kalaloo, isn't it? You don't eat kalaloo. You work kalaloo with something. If you have pumpkin, you just don't eat chew pumpkin. You process pumpkin. You add up something with it, and it becomes a meal. You get it. So, the quiet time, the Bible reading, and the Bible study, with the listening to messages, it's like having rice that is shine, So your the word of God only can feed you, but it's not complete. It's like eating shine rice. So you need a balanced diet. You get it? So what? Kalalua means beautiful. Kalalua means you have to do Kalalua. You have to mix it. You need to mix things. Do you understand? You have to mix reading is very, very critical. Mix reading with listening, and there are so many messages you can listen to. They are all right there. The third thing you need to do to develop your spirit is to pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. The Bible says in Jude, right? Number three is to speak in tongues or to pray, but specifically to speak in tongues. All right? In Jude 20, the Bible says that, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost. Shakataya makabranda makerebe sitalama kondoro mokendere masataya rakataya babandere mekebre de masanda ya makondo rike bende masende makaya babanda. One of the things I've discovered, and you know it, is that people don't speak in tongues openly. And I was reading something this afternoon about what you call a charismatic church. Did you realize, Reverend Cromwell, I don't know if you realize this, that the churches in Guyana are mostly Pentecostal churches. Pentecostal churches. Now, you may not understand when we say Pentecostal churches. Just a little history for you to understand. Pentecostal churches came out of the day of Pentecost, right? So the speaking in tongues, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So Pentecostal churches started. If you go around Guyana and you say that Lighthouse Chapel or Shepherd House International is a charismatic church, people would say, what is that? What is that? They don't even know what a charismatic church is. But this afternoon, I was doing a little reading, and it became so clear what a charismatic church is. Now, charismatism is what charismatism is made up of Pentecostalism, evangelical charismatic movement, and then neo-charismatic movement. Are you there? So when you say charismatism is like an umbrella under which there are three branches: Pentecostalism, evangelical charismatic movement, and then neo-charismatism or neo-charismatic movement. Now, the Pentecostal is like the first wave. That is when the disciples, like what happened, if anybody knows Pentecost. But what has happened is that the Pentecostal movement left a few things in the move of the Holy Spirit. You get it? The evangelical charismatic movement, it's the evangelicals. The evangelicals is also a movement. So like you see something we call some people Catholic charismatic. You have the Catholic charismatic. There's a movement in the Catholic Church. They speak in tongues and they pray like how we pray. So that's the second wave. So when the Pentecostal churches started, then Holy Ghost and all of that, then the evangelicals, who were not so much into the Holy Ghost things, some of them joined the move. That was the second wave. So you have the first wave, second wave, and the third wave. That is what is under the umbrella, big umbrella of charismatism. Charismatism is like, it's what you call like a gift. Charismatic is charisma. Charisma is gift, right? The gift of the Spirit. And the third wave is a neo-charismatic movement, is the third wave. And that is where you and I find ourselves. That's where you see Kenneth Hagin, you see C. Peter Wagner, you see all these people. this part, this charismatic, the third neo-charismatic movement, is the emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, and modern day miracles. It's like the neo-charismatic movement believes that we should emphasize on the work of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, and that modern day miracles must be an everyday part of our lives. In the neo-charismatic movement, we believe in the laying on of hands, seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We use internet messages, you know, these kind of things that we do. If you look at Guyana, there's so many things that are absent. Not so many people in the church speak in tongues. Not so many people in the church speak in tongues. Because they are Pentecostals. They are not charismatic. If you are a charismatic, you emphasize more of the people. When they get saved, they get baptized in water, and they get baptized with the Holy Ghost. It is not a norm in Guyana. In all the churches, Assembly, Full Gospel, all these people, it's more Pentecostal. That is the first wave. We are actually at the third wave, which started in the 1980s. And that it was around that time, 86, 87, that I found out the prophet started the Lighthouse Chapel International when he tapped into Kenneth Hagin. So that is the charismatic movement which has birthed and brought us forward to where we are today. You see, so when you talk about speaking in tongues, it is something that you do to build up yourself, your most holy faith. Jude 20. All right, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds himself. If you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. Do you get it? And so we must develop our spirit in this time. We can't depend on the ministry of health for spiritual upliftment. We can't depend on GCOM. GCOM is messed up. We can't depend on PPP. We can't depend on APNU AFC. We can't depend on anybody, not even your boss man. We have to depend on the things, the sources of food that will feed our spirit. And to develop your spirit, remember, number one is to feed on the Word of God. Quiet time, Bible study, Bible reading. Number two, developing your spirit is to listen to messages. Messages, camps, evangelistic sermons, regular flow services, podcasts, they are all available. Number three, speaking in tongues. All right, and that's what we try to do every morning, at least, you know, 1 hour. We try to do that, you know. So I'm sure tonight we'll do some shalababai, we'll do some little, you know, speaking in tongues tonight before we sleep. Okay, so I want to end here with our little Friday evening Bible study. I believe you are blessed. And it's definitely a food for thought. You know, those of you who are members, you can always log in and listen to the message again. And I believe you'll be blessed. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Awesome God, awesome God, how great thou art. And you are God, mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this wonderful, brief time of fellowship. Thank you for your word that has come. You want us to develop our inner man. You want us to develop our spirit. Thank you for a word in season. I thank you that your people are going to practice this word that has come. Bible said that it is those who hear the word of God and obey it and do it, they will be likened to a wise man who built his house on a rock. I pray that those who listen, those who tune in, will become wise, and that they'll practice Bible reading, they'll practice quiet time, they'll practice Bible study, they'll practice listening to messages of God, they'll practice speaking in tongues, and developing their spirits, developing the man that if we don't have that man strong, that we will not be able to go through life well. Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a broken or a wounded spirit who can bear? We don't want our spirits to be broken. We don't want our spirits to be wounded. And therefore, thank you for the medication. Thank you for the food. Thank you for what you have provided for us this evening through our fellowship to this evening, O God. I thank you, O God, that those who were finding it difficult to read your Bible, Lord, grace has been given, O God. Those who find it difficult to pray, grace has been granted, O God. Those who find it difficult and a challenge to listen to messages, grace has been granted. I pray for grace. Grace for your people. Grace for your people to develop their spirits. After all is said and done, after this coronavirus, that your people will not be lean in the spirit, will not be malnourished in the spirit, but they'll be strong. They'll be strong. They'll be strong. They'll be strong in the name of Jesus. Kabros kebere de makaya baba. I pray, oh God, now for everyone, oh God, Shepherd House family in Guyana, all over the country. I bring them, oh God, before you. Covering, oh God. Deliverance, oh God. Deliverance from the virus. Deliverance from hardships, deliverance from lack and want, deliverance from complications and things that will cause them to doubt the power and the presence of the God that we serve in this wonderful ministry and this wonderful church. I pray the Lord you supply their needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You are our shepherd, and indeed we shall not want. We shall not want. We shall not want. You make us lie down in pastures that are green. I believe it and I confess it over this church family in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy are you, Lord. You are greatly to be praised. Thank you for affording us the occasion to fellowship and to have communion with one another. Thank you. I know next time you'll be with us again as we go through the scriptures and to keep ourselves warming and to keep ourselves moving and growing and establishing ourselves in this wonderful faith that we all find ourselves in. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.